Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with MoneyWeb.
For millions of South Africans, minibus taxis are the backbone of daily transport, but handling cash on the go has long been a challenge, one that obviously raises concerns about safety, efficiency, I guess accountability. Now with the push for fully cashless taxi systems by next year, the cash or payment solutions company Waxed has introduced a digital fare collection system that I am told is already making waves. But here's my question. Is the industry ready to ditch cash for good? And can it overcome resistance to digital payments? Anthony Stewart is the Chief Executive Officer of the organization. And let's find out what's working, what's not, and whether cashless taxis are truly the future of transport. So, Anthony, a very warm welcome. So I would say to you that the idea of cashless taxis isn't new, but previous attempts have struggled. Why do you think that is, and the intervention that you're implementing, why is it different?
Thanks, Jeremy. Yes, a very good question. I think in the last 10 years, I know of 12 to 14 implementations that have gone awry, and they've gone awry for various reasons. Right from, I think the biggest one is not considering the larger ecosystem. You know, a taxi doesn't operate, you can't just stick a credit card machine into a taxi and then think that it's now cashless. You've got to consider the fact that if the taxi driver no longer has cash, how is he or she going to put fuel into the taxi? Okay. And, you know, the commuters that come there as well might also have cash, but they don't have a bank account, but now the taxi's cashless. So you have to consider all of these things, and that's kind of what we've done. We've gone and said, you know, if you approach with a cash, you can go to a spaza shop that's right next to the taxi rank, many different little spaza shops, and go and buy a paper ticket from them or top up one of the national travel cards. And if you've got a bank card, you can just jump directly onto the taxi. But what we've done, I think that's also been a big change, is that during the day, the user can pull down on the funds from the taxi to actually fill up the taxi. And at night, the driver, the owner, the marshals, the associations, all the different role players involved all get settled their cash at night immediately. And that's, you know, that's a massive benefit of cash, is that, you know, it's readily available. And the second you go to cashless, you normally go and say, well, I have to wait 3-4 days for my credit card money to come in, or up to 7 days for the SANRAL funds to come in. What we're doing is we settling that with all the role players at night and immediately.
Let me suggest to you, though, that a cash system perhaps works better in an industry because it's simply a question of being able to bypass paying tax.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a misnomer that the taxis don't pay tax. They do pay tax, but it's a smaller amount. In order to get a taxi license, to operate as a taxi operator, you have to go to SARS and get a tax clearance certificate. And there's a formula that the guys work on to go and say, you know, I do so many trips per day, I take so many commuters, et cetera, et cetera. And then the government works out a small amount of tax that's due. Now, what's nice with this is that the owners can get better control over their business. They're not sure of the money that's coming in because you don't know how much is being held onto by the drivers, or if the commuters are paying the full amount, as an example. But more importantly, they can also see now when they're spending money that they're spending money on repairs, they're spending money on fuel, they're spending money on the driver, et cetera, et cetera. And you can run your taxi now as more as an efficient business. And if you have a business, you can then more effectively manage your tax obligations. But at the end of the day, it's going to still be up to the taxi owner as to how they pay their tax, because it's, you know, like with any business, it's what you declare to the receiver is what you're going to be paying, basically. So it's not necessarily the answer to tax, but it's definitely a step in the right direction.
I think I'm correct in saying that drivers and associations have historically resisted any kind of digital fare system. What's the biggest hurdle, or perhaps not what's the biggest hurdle, but how do you convince them to get over that hurdle that you've outlined to me already?
So it's all about giving more benefit than what you're losing. So if you you are used to cash, as an example, you live in a cash-only environment, which means that you are not financially included. You can't apply for a vehicle finance or a home loan or even personal finance. where now if you've been paid through the cashless system, you can actually qualify for a home loan. Like, for instance, I've mentioned before that only 4% of taxi drivers actually own a home. And the reason is that it's so small is because they can't qualify for a home loan, where now you can qualify for a home loan. So being financially included is one of the benefits. Being able to sell airtime, lotto, electricity, additional forms of income, and even doing, for instance, the taxis some of the taxis don't do anything from 9 to about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now through the system you could go and say, well, I actually want to go and do deliveries, and for instance go and help Takealot, for instance, to go and deliver their parcels at a fraction of the cost to Takealot, because the taxi is already paid for through the commuters in the morning and the evening. So what this does is it changes the taxi into this business unit that can generate a lot more cash. You know, the drivers have approached us and said, listen, can I take this device and when I'm finished working, can I go afterwards into my community and go and sell airtime or insurance or whatever the other products are that are available through our framework and go and make extra money? And that's the whole thing. Is it's not just limiting to only the traditional commuter payments.
Anthony, let me continue playing devil's advocate here. Let me try and poke another hole in the argument. And let me suggest to you that crime is a major concern in the industry. We know that. So a cashless payment could reduce robbery risk, but surely there's the potential of new vulnerability like digital fraud.
I think there is definitely some kind of vulnerabilities, but I think a lot of that is managed through the technology that we are using. You are right that robberies are massive. When you do a survey with commuters, they come back and they say 100% of the commuters want to go cashless because they've had issues with either being robbed or having to get change. And so the reduction in crime is an important thing. I think, you know, it's like credit card fraud. You will get a level of credit card fraud, but with the payments being quite small and how we're managing it, the fraud is not on such a massive level as which you'd get in a retail store where you're buying clothing for like 1,000 rand or something like that. This is for a 10 or 12 rand trip that you're actually paying for using your debit or credit card.
And explain to me how the system would handle transactions in areas with poor network coverage, or what would happen if a commuter doesn't have mobile data.
So the beauty of that is we have a principle called deferred transactions, where the commuter can tap with their debit or credit card and it authorizes the transaction, very much like we do a tap transaction now. If you tap and you can just walk away, that's a deferred transaction. And that means that while you're away at a later point in the day, when the taxi gets signal, it will process that transaction. If it does have signal, then it can dial up and authorize you at that particular point in time. But so we do have the ability to do deferred transactions. And what we can also do is flag a credit card. For instance, if you tap the first time and you didn't have money and you come back and you try and tap again at a later stage and there is signal, we can identify that card and say, listen, you know, there's still an outstanding amount of where you tapped before for 10 Rand. And we're going to process not just the 10 Rand transaction, but an additional 10 Rand for outstanding fees or something like that.
And just quickly in conclusion, what's the cost to a taxi owner or association for implementation?
So it's basically just the cost of the device, which is about 2,500 Rand. But the savings that they get are far beyond that, just in vehicle finance repayments, where, you know, the guys are paying up to 15,000 Rand a month to repay a taxi. Using a cashless system, the finance houses will look at going and doing, instead of Prime Plus, I think 15, they could go to Prime Plus 2 or 3, which is a 3,000-4,000 Rand a month saving for a taxi owner. So I think the benefits always have to outweigh the cost. So it's literally just the cost of the device that's the cost. And then there is your traditional banking transactional fees that we have to obviously cover to process across their rails.
Well, let's see how this plays out in the future. Anthony Stewart, fascinating stuff. Chief Executive Officer of the payment solutions company Waxed. I do appreciate your time.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.